Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with your host, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Jack Nickel. Jack is the owner of Canna Trim and the Vermont Gold Company. Thanks for joining us today, Jack.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Hey, everybody.
Hey, yeah, no, definitely. I appreciate having you on. Last week, you were supposed to be on last week for the recording, right? But it was Purim, Jewish holiday. So it was cool that you were able to push it back and everything. And so today we're going to be talking about, appreciate that. And, we already got into it before we even started recording. It was like, oh my gosh, we should have been recording this whole time. Just so natural, yeah. Right? But for all the people actually who are listening to it, right? You know, for
but cannabis is exciting stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
We've been talking about it for a long time.
So, I mean, we're already talking about DMX wrestling, all the fun stuff. You know what I mean?
all the fun stuff while on cannabis too.
Definitely. No, exactly. So today we're going to be talking about, kind of these micro sized grows and kind of the challenges that they're facing, come harvest time, everything like that. We're going to be talking about the controversial topic, as we always, love to touch on here on Dank Discussions. This one's going to be hand trimming versus machine trimming and kind of pros, cons, and kind of how we can go about it in the industry. Right. And then also talking about, of course, New England Cannabis and talking about Canna Trim and the Vermont Gold Company and your story. So I have a lot to talk about for sure.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I would love to. I appreciate the time.
No, definitely. It's funny, right? I always want to hear where people are from, but it's right there. You're from Vermont, right? I mean, how come?
Yeah.
Are you talking about how come people from Vermont are so freaking nice, and are so communal and all these kind of things? We've had a few people on here, and it's always just like, hey, are you? Because I'm from LA. I think I'm a nice guy. I don't know if anyone else thinks. But, when I meet people from Vermont, I'm just like blown away. No,
you definitely are.
Thanks.
Don't ever let anybody tell you that.
Thank you, Jack. I'm going to carry that memory with me forever,
You know what? This dude from Vermont.
You know what? Jack, he's from Vermont. He knows what he's talking about. He's talking about
that's right.
So I'm taking his advice, So, no, but definitely. So, I mean, talk to me a little bit about, your journey, right? I mean, you were talking about you're not from Vermont originally. So talk to me your journey. What's brought you, in cannabis? Your past cannabis, everything like that, around the world, everything like that. And what led you to Canna Trim and the Vermont Gold Company?
Yeah. So in full disclosure, I'm a Vermont transplant. So people in this state would call me a Flatlander.
I didn't realize there was a slur for non-Vermont.
Born here, so I have to stay and take care of them. So sorry. Wow. I'm from Philly originally. But I moved here 11 years ago. I originally, kind of started my career as a mechanic on helicopters and planes, believe it or not. It's kind of a weird start, but I was in the-
That's pretty cool.
I was in the Marine Corps right out of high school, around 5 years.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. And thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And then, it was a busy time while I was in, decided to get out. Stayed in the industry, fixing planes and helicopters, it was a great job to have while you get out in the military, but not really what my passion was. So I went back to school and got my electrical engineering degree and then became an engineer thinking that was it. No, that wasn't really it either. I didn't want to work with anybody for anybody anymore, even though I was, that's how I knew I didn't want to work for anybody anymore. I had the best place to work at Vermont and I was still not super, happy about it. So I knew it was like, the timing is great. I was just at a point in my life where I was like, hey, listen, cannabis laws are totally loosening up here in Vermont. This is an opportunity for me to jump into space where I think people will see value. And then I decided to start Canna Trim and basically drive around with my F-150 in a trailer on these, bumpy, dirty, dusty roads in Vermont, all these farms in Vermont during harvest in 2019. And, helped these micro grows, so to speak, from usually 1 to about 5 acres get through their harvest wet that year. So I was like, I had hundreds of hours trimming on these machines. I had a lot of experience by association, by guilt, I guess. But that's how it all started. Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. I mean, me and myself been in the cannabis industry for a long time. I've never been a trimmer myself. Right. I've always been, more the street distributor kind of guy or the broker kind of guy.
Of course.
That kind of thing going on. But
we would have been good buddies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No doubt. So but I, all my buddies, they were maybe trimmers, right? So like I'd go up to Humboldt for like a trip and come back down, but they'd spend like, you know, they'd spend months up there, you know, and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's tough.
I mean,
doing it by hand is a slow, painful process.
I mean, yeah.
Nobody likes doing it.
Really? I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they don't. Maybe I think just the kind of the aura being around Bud, right? Just being around.
If you like, if you like trimming by hand, you have like masochistic tendencies. Yeah. Nobody likes to trim. It's the worst part.
I like driving in traffic. So that's kind of, people are always turned off by that one. Maybe there is somebody out there that's just like, oh, yeah.
You like driving, or you like driving in traffic?
I like both. I like driving and I like driving in traffic.
Okay. I like driving too, but not in traffic, especially California traffic in LA. I'm
from LA. People hate it. Yeah. You know, that's what they complain about the most.
It's the worst.
LA
traffic's the worst.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of bummed. Right. So I split time between Tel Aviv and LA. Last time I was in LA, you know, I haven't been able to go back as much this year because of COVID, obviously. And all the conventions, everything was closed anyway.
You missed all your traffic. You missed your LA traffic.
I was bummed, dude. I was like, this is a ghost town. I was like driving. I was like, it took me 20 minutes to get to Culver City. Like, this is insane, you know?
I planned 2 hours for this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, exactly. I was like, I was ready to meditate. I was ready to,
you know, what am I going to do? I'm way early.
Yeah, you know, I had some podcasts to get through, some all kinds of, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, I do my best thinking in the car, you know? I mean, but.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but, but yeah, so tell me, you know, kind of that process, right? And also, you know, how do you, you know, you were doing by hand before, but now you have, you know, all the equipment and, you know, talk to me about the process. And
I was one of those guys that thought, you know, or knew that I didn't know a whole bunch of stuff, but thought I could figure it out quickly. You know, right. That's pride. You're pretty prideful, I guess, but you don't know what you don't know. So I got into the business thinking I could really, you know, figure this out pretty quickly. Of course I'd hand trimmed before, but that wasn't going to cut it for the customers that I was trying to attract. So I had to learn really quickly before the season started how to best use these machines. And I actually had, it's a funny story for maybe another time, but learning on site on my
first farm. What other time? Just the time.
Oh, no, the first farm I was at, I told him I was going to be able to do his acre in a day. We were doing like 6 pounds an hour. He's feeding me lunch and I'm eating a sandwich he made me. This is my first day. We're doing 6 pounds an hour. Michael, if you're out there listening to this shout out, he looks just looking at me and he goes, so what's going on, bud? Like, you know, why aren't you gonna be able to finish this by the end of the day? But, you know, like I said, the machines are tools, you know, and we can get in all of the specific later, but you know, there was a steep learning curve. And now that I'm so familiar with the machines, and I, you know, I sell all of the brands now here too, I can advise people to, so they don't go through the pains that I went through when I started this business when they rent or buy from us, because there's a lot to learn. You just don't, it's not a washing machine. You just throw your clothes in and it comes out clean. It's not like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's one of the things that we see in the industry now, right? Where it was like, you know, people who've been growing for, you know, decades, right? Obviously way longer than that, but you know, since, you know, the legacy market, right? And it was just kind of this way of going about things and this way of doing things. And this is the way we do it. You know, there was never really like, quote unquote, like SOPs, right? Like the growers knew how to do it, you know, and they could maybe train somebody and tell them what they do, but there wasn't necessarily like these macro grows that are going on and where, you have to, you know, where now there's like, you know, so many people need to know what's going on, and you know, the grower is just kind of overseeing everything, right? As opposed to kind of doing a lot of this work himself and everything. So, I mean, it's kind of changed, right? Like you were saying, in those regards of, you know, doing acres on a day, right? And being able to train people and teach people how to actually use the machines, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you know, lots happened since that story, obviously. But these, you know, the machines themselves are really essential to getting through. And it depends on, you know, which machine you choose for your harvest. But you're right. The knowledge for which one you should pick, when you should use it, how you should use it, wasn't there in New England when I started it. You know, it's here now, hopefully, that I'm here and able to help people. But it's, you know, in Vermont, and, you know, this was like in every other state, California as well. 1 year you were not allowed to grow it. And then the next year you were allowed to grow as much as you wanted it.
Yeah, and anybody who can get a license or
have no, so, you know, all these people were just like, well, then let's just grow a lot of it. you know, and then you got to get through it. Growing, it's a beautiful process. I love going on site visits when people are in veg state, right? So peaceful, and you're walking through, running your fingertips through the leaves, right? I love it. And then you have to, then October comes around, you have to harvest it. And it's like the worst experience in the world because, you know, you got to make it a choice at that point. You got to either start trimming right now wet or have the space to hang it up. And this is all outdoor, bro. I don't, you know, I'm not speaking for those of you that are listening out west or anywhere else in the world that that have operations where you don't have to necessarily go through this. You have to remember the world that I'm in. There's just most people grow in outdoor situations here. In
For sure.
So you have to make a decision. Do I have space to hang it up and dry it? We'll trim dry, or am I going to get through this stuff right now and be ready to have it trimmed and ready for market as soon as possible?
No, for sure. And I definitely want to get into, you know, kind of digging deeper a little bit on those machines and kind of the difference in that, you know, but also want to start a little bit higher view, you know, in terms of this, you know, it's a huge thing, obviously, you know, and it's not just about passion. It's also about price. It's about everything that goes into, you know, having operation, right? Hand trimmed versus machine trimmed. And, you know, some people swear by one, some people swear by the other, and they say, what is the difference? Whatever. Throw it in there. And it's just like this whole thing, right? So talk to me about that.
Yeah. Well, one's definitely better. One is definitely better than the other one.
Oh yeah, which one is that?
Hand trim. Hand trim is always the best. Yeah. Everybody wants hand trim.
Yeah.
I want hand trim every day. Everybody does. But it's important that, you know, people understand it's a market, it's an industry now. And this green wave, if you want to think about the map of the United States that started actually in Western Canada and your Canada in general, worked its way down through Washington, Oregon, and California. Now it's working its way west. New England is kind of on the tail end where I'm at with moving forward with all kinds of legality. So, you know, we don't have a lot of, we're just getting experience here. You know what I mean? We're just starting to get that knowledge base. But I'm getting off topic. Whenever anybody says hand trim versus machine trim, I always say hand trim because it's the best. But the point I was trying to make was that with this industry in New England too, is that you're going to have a demand that's going to start growing so fast that it's just not economically feasible. But, you know, and I've tried obviously, because I'm a business owner that called Canna Trim, to sit down and have a team of hand trimmers to do the volume that we're going to need to do in New England, in the South soon, out West that you guys are already experiencing. The high volume producers do use in some sort of capacity, a start of a machine trim, just because the demand is so high. It's just not, no one, you know, there, it's a business. No one can make money if you're doing nothing but hand trimming. It's just not right. It's just the fact.
Yeah, for sure. And in terms of that machine.
But hand trimming is the best. You're right. The person out there cursing me out, you're right. Hand trimming is the best.
No, for sure. But I totally hear you too as well, right? And that's kind of the thing that goes, but there's people that just like, well, not even buying and just, you know, obviously drive
get it.
The price of the pack up and everything, obviously everywhere.
I'm not going to argue with them.
But that being said, right? So talk to me a little bit about, you know, listen, I've never been and seen the machine trimming. I don't try and bullshit and try and say I'm the master of everything. Talk to me about like the process of machine trimming. What even goes into that? How is it even done? And then kind of what separates like that quote unquote machine trimming versus that, you know, shitty machine trimming or.
Yeah. Well, let's pretend that you're a grower and you have 5 acres of flower. And out of that 5 acres of flower, you want to get, you know, a couple acres of it or all of it. Let's say you want to do all of it for smokable market, right? Because you have to decide as a grower in the beginning, what are you doing with it? Are you going to go straight to, you're just going to cut it down, go straight to bio?
You mean when you're a farmer, you have to have a plan? What?
You have to have a plan.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do with all this flower? But so Maynard says, I want to cut it all and I want to make it all machine smokable, or I want to make it all smokable flower. In order to do that 5 acres, then you're going to call Jack because Jack knows whether, you know, is going to ask you the right questions to get you in the right machine. I'm going to say, well, are you going to trim it when? Are you going to trim it wet? Or are you going to trim it dry? You know, do you have a barn big enough and can you regulate the humidity and the temperature or facility? Sorry, I keep saying barn because I'm in Vermont. Sorry, everybody. You have a facility that's temperature and humidity controlled that you're going to chop these plants down, hang them up. They're going to cure correctly, no mold, all that good stuff. And then you can at your leisure, either trim using a machine. There's great dry tumblers we can talk about. Or if you're saying, no, I don't have that big of a footprint or a facility. I need to get these plants broken down. I want to trim them wet. They've literally just come out of the field 10 minutes ago. We can put them out on screens. You know, we can dry them. They're drying racks. You can get, you know, Amazon, all that kind of good stuff. There's a million cannabis retail stores now. And then, you know, use this particular machine that does really good wet, a really good wet trim. And then, you know, we'll be done, ready to go to market. The flower is the machine trim wet is a fantastic trim. No one has ever handed me back a joint and said, buddy, you trimmed this wet, didn't you?
Interesting.
Nobody, you know, there's a big, the dry versus wet trim. People say when you trim wet, there's a hay flavor to it sometimes. I don't ever, you know, experience that, but like I was saying before, no one's ever handed me one been like, dude, you trim this wet versus dry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's the quality drop off. I guess the point I'm trying to make is negligible for in reality, for those that are saying, well, when I try one, this again, this is anecdotal through my experience with my
customers. No, that's great. Now we're really getting into controversial, you know.
Yeah, sorry. Well, that's good, right? People can, if there's a comment section, people can curse me out. My experience, it's negligible. It is not there. It's not a quality question. It's an actual infrastructure question that you have to ask yourself, am I going to trim wet? Am I going to trim dry?
Okay, very good. And then, you know, in terms of the wet, the dry,
I'll give some manufacturers a shout out if you want to know machines.
I mean, so what do you use and talk to me about kind of that process as well?
Yeah. So it depends on the time of year, right? So right now we're in New England. I don't know where everyone else is. It's cold, it's snowy, no one's harvesting, at least in an outdoor capacity. I'm using what they call a dry tumbler. There's two different companies that make them right now, at least volume ones that do really well that I've experienced. Triminator, XL Dry, Twister, Batch One. They can give me royalties later. Shout out. But you know, they're a little bit on the pricier side. They're 13 to 19K. But you know, you're doing take home flower, 70 pounds of actual trim flower to 100 pounds with the batch one a day, ready to bag up or do ready, depending on your quality, right? If you're doing a machine trim smokable flower, if that's your market, that's fine. That machine will do great. But you can also see, I mean, a lot of people, I don't know if you've come across this term or a lot of your listeners have come across this term, but the market called machine trim, hand finished.
Yeah.
Run it through a dry trimmer. Yeah, dump it out and finish it up. I love that's the best. To me, that's the future of flower, right? It's like, what are people? What are you easily able to do quickly yet still maintain 80 to 90% of what you know the 5% of the smokers like us that have been doing it for a long time expect when they open up? You know, I don't know. Sorry, I just feel like we get a little bit hard sometimes on growers. And we open it and we look at it. We end up grinding up the flower and smoking it anyway. I just, you know, people get kind of wrapped around the axe a little bit with actual looking trim. You know what I mean? And this is just me venting, I guess, as a mass volume trimmer.
No, but people, talk about this. They're like, yeah. I mean, I have buddies who would say you can definitely tell the difference just by looking at it.
You can
inspect.
As far as visual, I guess my point is quality-wise, when you back to me saying that the future, I think, of smokable flower is a machine trim hand finish. Because you can really quickly get through what the machine's just done about 90% of the way for you and pop off crow's feet that may still be on, give each, you know, flower as you're doing QC. One person doing that QC wise is going through many more pounds a day faster than actual hand trimming. And that's it. It's much faster to pay one person to QC flower that's been run through a machine, a volume dry tumbler, ready for a market package to go than it is like an entire team of hand trimmers.
Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, talking about like, you know, these talking about planning, right. Macro grows, are they usually like you're saying you're driving around in a truck. Does everybody usually plan to have all these machines themselves and kind of do it themselves, you know, or is this?
No. I mean, there's everybody's different. I work with facilities too. Canatrim does. They obviously do. Like I work with a dispensary in Vermont, one that, I think, at least I was last year, I'm the only person not an state employee allowed to touch THC flower. Cause I had to like, I did like a background check and go to the police. They took my fingerprints and stuff. It was crazy just so I could trim. But it was funny, man. I grew up in the 90s. Yeah. So I'm at a state run facility trimming THC and like Vermont's paying me to do this essentially. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Pretty cool.
Cause all that stuff's going to, you know, state patients. But anyway, they obviously plan. They plan down to the T actually, right? They're measuring everything. They're weighing everything. They know when the rooms are coming down, when other rooms are going up. But the farmer that's trying to get into this business, the one that's been maybe growing, you know, first year, second year. Well, you know, if you're first year, what you didn't do. A lot of people, unfortunately, I think put this really important part of the process on the back burner, and they shouldn't. Like if you're planning a grow, that should probably be the first thing you think of. And I'm not just saying that because I own a business in it. Like, what are you going to do with the flower? Where is it going? And how are you going to trim it? Like specifically, like, are you in a position to do all those things that I talked about before? And if you're not, then go one way and then figure out a plan. Are you going to rent this equipment? There's people like me out west that have been doing this a little bit longer than I have that are doing rentals as well. Same type of machinery. Or are you going to say, you know, no, this is a business and we're going to make the investment to buy it as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think just in general, my experience, and you can find out kind of quickly with farmers, we get to talk to a lot of people, right? And some of them are farmers and some of them are businessmen and some of them are hybrids of that. Right. And some, you can tell pretty quickly when someone is, this is an actual business, like they've actually, you know, taking the time to actually plan everything.
Yeah.
I think there's just like this misconception, right? And I think we're a little bit beyond that, hopefully a little bit, you know, where it's like, if you grow it, they will come, you know, kind of thing. And it's just like, oh, whatever, we're going to put,
yes,
you know, and it's just kind of
but
like,
you guys out west are for sure. Like, remember, legality is like slowly sweeping across in New England. New England with Vermont, New Hampshire, Mass, Connecticut, Maine.
So everybody has to make the same
mistake. We're all like in a race, right? We're all in different stages. It's like a quilt of legality law right now in New England. And we're all in different stages of full legality. Vermont's getting there soon. Mass is already there. You know, Maine's already pushing, you know, pretty far too. New Hampshire's way behind, way, 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 way behind. New York's just starting now too. So, you know, there are a lot, unfortunately, of those stories that I'm hearing where it's just like, they did not plan that in the beginning. Like, freaking out, like, what am I gonna do, you know? So yeah,
it's sad. I mean, but why? I mean, my question is as well, like, I mean, fine, so Colorado made mistakes, California made a shit ton of mistakes, we're seeing all the mistakes being done. Why does Vermont have to go through the same growing pains, right, that everybody else has gone through? I mean, wouldn't it be like, okay, these dudes fucked up, they did this and this.
Yeah,
and, you know, people are losing their asses, like it's serious business. Yeah. Like people are, you know, we hear horrible stories, suicide, even, you know, bankruptcy, all kinds of things going on.
I think that speaks more to the cannabis community in general, at least the online one that I'm a part of, like on Reddit, and Facebook and stuff like that, all those groups. You know, some folks are really open with sharing knowledge and dispersing that, you know. So all these people that have grown in California and made all those mistakes, all these people that have grown in Oregon and Washington, all the other ones, aren't necessarily telling everyone what they've learned. And I get it, right? In the end of the day, it could be competent. You never know, even though it's a fraud. I understand that. But also, I'm not faulting them either, because it's also the grower needs to go out and seek that information where they maybe didn't do the research as well as they should.
I think that also shows, you know, a greater kind of issue as well within the industry, right? Where, you know, people kind of want something for free. Right. Whereas if you own a business, if you own any business, if you're going to open up, you know, a shoe business, whatever a person's doing, right.
Yeah.
It's always advantageous to bring in consultants. It's always advantageous. I think, like, you know, it goes back to that, you know, well, I didn't plan for trimming. I didn't plan for the marketing. Well, I didn't know about business plan. I didn't know about, because they're not really running a business. They didn't really have a plan. They were just like, fuck it, dude. There's so much money in cannabis. Dude, give me $100,000, give me some money, and we're going to throw some shit, baby. And it's going to be raining money. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, you know, and then it goes back to like, pay now or pay later, you know, and people kind of are always looking for something for free. Hey, set up my shit, you know, set up my SOP, set up everything. and let me research it on the internet, let me Google it. And it's just not, you know, people just, you know, it comes into our conditioning as well, you know, being 2021 and hey, I can YouTube anything, you know, is there a Udemy course on it? You know, there's gotta be something on Google somewhere, you know, and expecting just to like find the answers there. And then they get surprised when they see misinformation, you know, when they apply it and they're just like, well, it didn't work for me. You know, well, I tried that and didn't, well, I mean, did someone show you how to do it? Did you have a coach? Did you have a consultant? Do you have, you know, someone who's an expert? Did you delegate? Did you find somebody who's done it before? All that kind of fun stuff. Did you hire for it? Anything like that? No, 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 no. And then they're just like wondering why they have all this stuff on their hands. It's true.
A lot of it too. I feel like and people need to be careful too. I feel like there's a lot of people in the industry that have sprouted up. I mean, like you could even take a look at guys in my business selling trimming machines that are like, you know, advising you on how to spend $50,000 to $70,000 to $100,000 of your money or whatever, however many machines and the size you buy. Are you trusting the information that you're getting too? Right. So that I totally get what you're saying.
There's so many totally to look out. Everybody's that's another odd thing, right? Is that everybody's an expert.
People listening going like, but what about all those people out there? You know what I mean? And it's true. There's a lot of thinkers out there.
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful for that. But yes, totally. You gotta go do your research. I mean, like it's not, you know, harvest should not be a surprise to any grower that you have to harvest it. You know, you can buy a book. It should not be a surprise. You will probably have to trim it, most likely, at the very least, unless you're selling it for bio and you don't care. And then prices are much lower. So yeah, that's just my point, is that, you know, people just be careful out there. If you're just getting into it, you know what I mean? You know, there's people ask how long others have been in the business, do references, get references for sure, all that stuff.
For sure. And definitely, you know, and also on this podcast, you know, it seems, you know, we run the numbers and everything, and people who are on the podcast is in the podcast. All of our audience are people who are mostly in the industry and been there, you know what I mean? So, we never try to pretend like we're a how-to, you know, on how to get in, trying to train people and all that kind of fun stuff. You know, I mean, I think that's what kind of has happened, right? A lot of people get their asses kicked, and that's how it is in any business.
Right? I mean, well, you should have someone though, right, man? You should have someone, like, let's just say you spent $12,000 with me. You would expect me to at least be on the phone with you the first time you run it up, telling you like, do this, do that, adjust this, you know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of times people with these machines that are looking, no matter whether they're trim, you know, wet or dry, like they're buying them from websites that sell newts, grow lights, scissors, you know what I mean? Like the guy on the other end of the phone isn't really going to advise you on like infrastructure requirements, like power. Most people don't even realize you have to have a 50 amp breaker for the wet ones. It takes a lot of juice to run up those blowers. You know what I mean? Like he's not going to know to tell you that. He's not going to know what to tell you when it breaks or you need to adjust it. So, the knowledge right now in especially in New England, and this is my personal opinion, my, you know, IMHO, knowledge is invaluable. Experience is invaluable.
No doubt. And that's the whole thing. You know, it's like, if there's anything that we can, you know, get across, it's like, be willing to pay for that. Right. Like you said, it's like, you know, you can order something online and you ends up and you get it. You know, how the hell do we use this thing properly?
Yeah.
You know, and so much easier just to have someone come in and tell you, you know, show you exactly how to do things.
I just see so many secondhand machines on the market now. And I'm like, if you would have just, I feel bad. I was like, I wish you would have just talked to me on the phone. I would have said that one is too big or that one's not right for what you're doing. Or, you know what I mean? Just like, let me talk to you. I have competitive prices, everybody.
I mean, I guess the point is like we were saying before, right? You don't know what you don't know until you realize, you know what I mean? It's just like, some people are just innocently going in there, you know? And, you know, I'm not saying that everybody's cheap. Don't be cheap, right? I mean, that's something I was, you know, don't be cheap, seriously. But at the same time, you know, it's hard to really know. You know, everybody sometimes goes in there with the best intentions and whatever else. And, you know, like, hey, you know what? Like, why go over here and get when I can get over there? You know, and people, you know, in our market with marketing, right? With, you know, marketing for cannabis and CBD and everything, you know, people ask, like, why can't I just get some guy on Fiverr to do it? I'm like, you can, there's no problem. Go do it. You know, but then you're going to come back to me after four or five times.
you know, and get be pissed off and lose all this time. And then you could have just paid me from the beginning to do it the
right,
you know, right. to do, our team yeah. would have done the right way the first time.
What's the quality of the flour are you buying, and what's the quality of the help that you're buying?
Too, yeah, exactly. You know, so just kind of this thing that seems to go around, you know, and like you said, it's that's kind of the shame of the whole thing, I guess, is that, you know, it's like not everybody has to lose their ass every single state as we open up, you know, and it starts off with, you know, from the growers.
There's people out here to help you with those growing pains.
You know, legislation, all that stuff, right? I mean, it's just like, you know, we've seen how states have kind of fucked it up and all along the way. You know, so it's like, you know, we see that some states are doing it better and some states are not doing as good, you know, and we have, like you were saying, right, with Canada already, you know, every time I talk to Canadians, they're like so pissed off at the whole thing. You know what I mean? They're like the nicest pissed off people I ever met. You know, it's like, you know, but they're just like, it's all just, it's always just like, oh my gosh, you have no idea. You know, it's like, but for sure, man. So, I mean, so we talked a little bit about, you know, talking a little bit more about that New England scene, right? I mean,
yeah. You know, oh, it's exciting. It's like the wild, Northeast, not the Wild West, right? Wild Northeast.
3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis and CBD marketing, branding, SEO content, and web design. If you are a cannabis owner and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Because, well, it's just all the laws are just starting to loosen up, so which means the market is opening up too. So you've got people that can grow in all businesses, ancillary businesses like mine that survive obviously on the health of the grower, of the small craft grower. You know, Canatrim's goal in the beginning obviously was to serve as many Vermont growers as possible. But you know, now that we sell as well, we've moved to, you know, trying to do New England focus, now an East Coast focus, selling equipment all over the US now. And basically, you know, the scene is new. So I think that, I don't know, and this is just, again, one guy's opinion or maybe perspective, that not a lot of people know about the New England flower or cannabis market yet, but it's really unique. And I'm kind of here to trumpet it because, you know, while all those guys, you know, what was that miniseries on Netflix, the triangle on Humboldt that they did? Yeah, it's actually pretty good. I'm sure somebody out there knows, but it was on Netflix, and just basically the Humboldt County story and what they went through and how it started. All at the same time, you know, Vermont was growing too. Those guys were just doing it in the mountains and in valleys that police couldn't find them. And, you know, this is 30, 40 years ago, and I'm selling equipment to these guys now. So you have all this experience and all this knowledge that is now basically being legalized. So what they're saying is, okay, we're going to grow a whole bunch of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the area is called Emerald Triangle. Is that what the name of the show was too, as well? Emerald Triangle.
Yeah, that might be the name of the show. Something like that. It's good. It was good. I thought it was pretty interesting. If you're in the, if you like cannabis, it's interesting. but yeah, so they have all these. There's all these growers that have just been doing it for so long that are now applying it on a macro level. And what I'm doing is I started a brand called the Vermont Gold Company. And we're going to market with all of their great Vermont, you know, flower, both wholesale and, you know, in retail.
So this isn't, you're not growing this, right? So you're now showcasing all of the Vermont,
that's what right.
Vermont has to have.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. My unique position of, you know, being in one spot and knowing a lot of the growers in Vermont, has kind of given me a view of the best flower that it has to offer, and it's great. And figure out a way to try to support and elevate the Vermont grower, right? Because this is really cool for me that both my business and my ethical moral stances agree, right? Like, it helps me to help the grower business-wise, but it makes me feel good because I'm helping people, but it also, it's good business, you know? And when you have both of those, that's, you know, a dream, obviously, right? I never have to compromise. And it gives me a really good goal because I really want to put Vermont flower out there in the world for people to see. And Vermont, the Vermont Gold, we're launching here pretty soon. We're
amazing. Vermont
Gold Company. We're gonna.
So you guys are still pre-launch. Is where are you guys holding with all that?
Yeah. Well, we have everything labeled. We got bags for now. You know, we're gonna be in some local stores here in the state. We're gonna get a site up here in the next few weeks. You can buy, obviously, online. I'll have that on Canna Trim's page on canna-trim.com. You can check it out. There'll be a link for it there. Or you can just email me. But yeah, that's just, you know, it's the brand is focused on Vermont, from the Vermont grower, Vermont product. I think that, and I think other people agree that Vermont already carries an air of quality. You know, Vermont maple syrup, Vermont cheese, if you're from around the area, very good cheese. So we're lucky in that respect. But like I said, I don't have to hawk anything. These guys have been growing for so long. Now I just get to showcase it. I'm pretty lucky in that respect. So yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be cool.
Amazing. Yeah, super exciting. And definitely, you know, like I was sharing, and there's other episodes out there as well, you know, Pepper Lee CBD and Sarah Shaw, yep. And people out there, you know, doing great things. So, you know, those are great episodes as well, but I'm just always blown away by Vermont, how, you know, supportive you guys are of each other, you know, and this thing, and just what a, the whole yeah. state's a community. I've never seen that. Obviously,
we're lucky, right? Well, I'm a Flatlander. I say, I feel bad saying
Flatlander.
Right? We are lucky because Vermont, usually those who try to start things in Vermont are kind of hardy, you know, kind of hardy folk. They want to make their own thing. And because whatever you're trying to do here, the quality is good enough that you don't usually have to look outside the state to get it accomplished. You know, we're going to be doing different things with different products with Vermont Gold here in the future. We're like, you know, I'm going to look at the cat out of that too much, but we're going to have a Vermont maple syrup with CBD and hopefully with THC in it. We'll have Vermont honey with it as well, as, you know, for retail. But like, we're only sourcing from, everything is Vermont, because we don't have to go anywhere. We're small. We're the second smallest state in the union, population wise. And everybody that does anything here is really good at it. So it's really, we're lucky. We're really lucky to have the quality products that we have, no matter what we need.
Amazing.
So it's easy to help your neighbor because you want to.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you know, that's kind of what you're doing here with Vermont Gold, right? I mean, you mentioned, what's kind of been, you know, cause we're talking about Canna Trim and we're talking about Vermont Gold. So, I mean, talk to me about what's kind of been the biggest obstacle you face with Canna Trim, and what's kind of been the biggest obstacle you face with Vermont Gold Company and getting all those things going and everything.
Totally, else. Yeah. Because the market is so new in New England, and because, like I said, that everyone's in kind of a different stage of the race, so to speak, of legalization, it's been really hard to... So Canna Trim originally started as, you know, I'm here to see you during harvest, but, you know, here in New England, we get a whole bunch of snow pretty early in the year. We have one growing season. So my business plan had to account for the fact that, you know, most of the year, these machines weren't necessarily going to be working, at least the wet focused ones. And then, you know, try to rent the other machines for those that want to do dry, like the bucking machines or the dry tumblers for those that trim dry. But the market at the end has been really the biggest obstacle, because the CBD flower market is, you know, anybody that's in the market right now knows that it's full, you know, it's pretty packed. So then at that point, what's going to help you stand out from everybody else, from those that are still looking. Most people that grow, that come to me and say, hey, listen, yeah, we think this is a really good idea. We can't afford these machines, but we know that we want to rent them from you so we can get through our stuff and get them to market. Don't necessarily have, you know, I have a rep business to run as well. I have overhead. I've, you know, bank loans and stuff like that. The price has to be what the price is to make this work for everyone. So I do understand what they're saying. However, this is a reality situation for everybody. So, you know, there is a bit of an expensing here and there, but there's also, you know, figuring out where they're going to go with it. Right. So that's how Vermont Gold was kind of started, the Vermont Gold Company. I mean, how am I going to help you? If I can help the grower on the end, whether it be through wholesale or retail channels that I've started or found, it's a lot easier to help them in the beginning to say, yeah, let's work with Canna Trim. either through rentals or through sales. Like if they, the grower obviously feels way better when they know where their flower is going to be going before they put it in the ground.
For sure.
You know, so that I did not want to start a brand. It was funny. I was actually on a show last year when I first started, and the guy was like, "So why did you start a trimming van? Everyone hates trimming. Nobody wants to be in trimming." And my answer was because nobody was doing it. Nobody did.
Yeah, right. I mean, opportunity. Yeah, everybody, you know, wants.
Nobody was jumping on that grenade. Yeah. I'm the one dumb enough to do it. Right. So that's why I did it. There's a value there for people to do it. So helping them get rid of it helps. You know, me help them in the beginning as well, so that my machines can be running. I'll know that my machines are running. That's the biggest challenge. If the demand was, I don't know, at least crystal clear to us in New England. If anybody out there wants to send me an email, and if I'm looking at it wrong, let me know. But if we knew what the actual market was, you know, everywhere, or at least in the US, you know, I think it'd be a lot easier. And I think a lot of people, a lot of growers, no matter where you're at, are saying the same thing that I'm saying. It's how are we going to, you know, make money on this hard work we put into this flower without losing our pants right now. It's a tough market.
No, for sure. No doubt about it. You know, we see that all the time.
But THC is right around the corner. And I don't want people to think that New England cannabis is drowning over here or anything like that. It's not the problem. We just have a lot more. We're just a lot more in hemp. We're like back in time for most people. Right. So we're just getting into like, we're making THC plans now for when that hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, you know, people here, the business owners here, the growers here, the ancillary businesses like mine that want to work with growers. We know THC is where it's at. We have to get there. We're waiting for it. And that's where it's at.
For sure. And I guess with that as well, right? So, I mean, you know, one thing I've seen about Vermont as well is that, you know, you mentioned here Vermont Gold, you know, and wholesaler and retail, right? But, you know, they mentioned the side a little bit, but is there like a vision to kind of have that e-commerce thing and then doing that? Or is it, you know, Vermont is so much about, like I was saying, community and supporting and, you know, farmers markets and all that stuff, you know? So it's just like,
even the product
so label insulated.
Has that vibe. Yeah. I know. It's like, I feel like it's like a diamond in the rough that we're kind of just,
it's like, let me want everybody to know about Vermont flower and everything, but we're just going to sell to other Vermont, you know, people from Vermont, you know?
No, we're going to have a full, we're only going to sell to Vermonters right now. We'll have a site, we'll have a full e-commerce retail site for people to buy flower. And if we're legally able, obviously to sell your flower, we'll send it to you no matter where you're at. As well as, you know, having it in stores and channels, in the New England area for now. So, you know, the world has gotten much smaller as it's gotten easier to buy stuff online. The biggest concern obviously is making sure wherever you're sending it, they can legally take it. That's the biggest thing, no matter what cannabis, you know, you're in part of the industry that you're in. We're really looking forward to it. We're really excited to get it up and running, just because, like I said, we just feel like we have this really unique perspective where we have all this knowledge that's finally allowed to grow and sell. So people should come check it out.
Amazing. And everybody check it out, and we'll get down to that in a minute. You know, before we get into all that stuff, I would love to hear, you know, you say you've listened to the episodes, I'm sure you've seen this coming, right? But, you know, talking about everybody on the show, I want to hear you're an entrepreneur, business owner. Love to hear what your definition of success is, right? You know, what does success like for you, whether personally, spiritually, professionally,
anything? That's a really good question. You know, my version of, I guess, success is to see Canatrim kind of come into its own, as well as, you know, I look at Canatrim and the Vermont Gold Company as kind of one and the same, two different parts of the process. But at the same time, the success, like my business isn't successful if the health of the cannabis community in Vermont and New England, Vermont specifically right now for Vermont Gold, isn't healthy. Like if that's not there, none of this happens, right? So my dream of saying, hey, listen, that's great. That'd be great. I would love it if people were buying equipment from me all up and down the East Coast all the time for their needs. And we're also doing great retail sales. But you know, if the growers in New England and the growers in Vermont aren't benefiting as well, then that's not successful to me. I feel like that, you know, my business being there in that position was because they were successful too. that's the vision of success to me. Yeah. That's New England cannabis being successful.
Definitely so. Appreciate that for sure. You know, as we start to wind down over here, you know, how can listeners find out more about you, find out more about Canatrim, out about Vermont Gold, try that sweet Vermont flower and connect with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few different ways you can get a hold of me. You can go to Canatrim's site. That's an easy one. It's Canna, C-A-N-N-A, -trim.com. We've got a good Facebook page for both the Vermont Gold Co. And also for Canatrim, one word, sorry for that. But our Instagram page is one word, Canatrim. Follow us there. You can hit me up there. Like I said, we'll be actually up and running, able to send people product here in the next few weeks. So I'll obviously love any interest that anyone has. Take your name down, get you what you want. But you know, even people out there that have questions about the industry, have questions about trimming, questions about machines, if you ever even thought about it, hit me up on that too. You know what I mean? I'm here to just kind of, even if I'm answering questions for you, I don't know. I think Maynard can attest to the cannabis industry is, for me, has been all about the relationships that I've made and the people, you know what 100%. I mean? And it's kind of brought the success. I say success like I'm successful, dude. The success so far that I've had.
You are successful, bro. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was the whole thing. You know, and that's why I asked that too. You know, it's
the people
it's
that I met, you know? So yeah, totally. Hit me up. I'm happy to answer questions. Let's talk.
Very good. And yeah, definitely we'll have everything linked here as well here in the write-up. If you're on the website or, you know, on the, wherever you're listening to, you'll see it in the description. So definitely appreciate that. And dude, Jack, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate you. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for taking an interest. I really appreciate it. Anybody that's made it to the end, I'm sorry and thanks.
No, it's great, man. I mean, oh my gosh. Honestly, it's been great. I mean, we've been doing this for, you know, a year and a half now, right? And you're the first kind of like trimmer, right? Like you were like you were saying a year ago with the other guy that was saying, why the hell would you get into trimming?
I know. He's like, nobody wants to be a trimmer. We've had a rock star vibe for trimming.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But I mean, that's kind of, that's how great businesses are built. So man, all the best. And thank you everybody at home for listening or in your car or wherever the hell you're listening. If you're in traffic, like us crazy people or whatever else is going on. Thank you all for listening and appreciate you, Jack. So good luck to you and the rest.
Thank you guys. Thanks everyone. It was so nice to meet everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Dank Discussions. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review. We want to continue making dank content you want to hear, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calacan.com. That's grow@calacan.com. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our latest updates.